Well, good morning. Ohayou gozaimasu. And if you could set up my slides, and I'll just give you directions there in the back how to advance it. I did get the memo from Pastor John, that today was red shirt, red sweater day. We both have red sweaters. We both share the first name, so that's great. I'm here in the States. I came last Sunday, and I leave tomorrow, but we had the Reaching Japanese for Christ conference that started Wednesday and finished last night at Calvary La Habra. We had about 80 Japanese and U.S. People that have a passion for reaching Japanese in the U.S., Canada, and in Japan, and I had a chance to share some seminars on Thursday. And it was really a great time. We are celebrating 40 years of ministry, and that's been really exciting. In June, it'll be 40 years, and Calvary has been supporting us since 1985. And Eriko and I just want to thank you so much for your faithfulness in supporting us these many years. I serve with what is now A3, which we used to be Asian Access, and the good problem is we're now working in North Africa and Europe and the Middle East, so Asian Access doesn't work anymore, so we become A3, kind of a extension. That is the agency we serve with in Japan, and our sending agency is SIM, serving in mission there. So I'm just going to go ahead. Oh, good. It's there. I'm not seeing it on the screen here. I'll just look over here. Perfect. Okay, if we can go to the next slide, I'm just going to share a little bit about our background. Many of you know who we are, but there's three or four things that help you understand who I am. A song, a rod, God's love, and bookshelves, bookends, and many falls. A song, I won't attempt to sing it, but when I was a child growing up, they used to, you know, you get nicknames and teased a little bit. And what they used to call me was, "Who let the dog out?" And I didn't like it at the time, but many years ago, a rock group decided to make a song out of that. And they, "Who let the dogs out?" with a barking noise in the background. So that helped me. I said, oh, that's something good came out of that. Another part of the name, Hulet, if you look in the French Bible, in Psalm 23, verse 4, the word for rod is Hulet, or Hulet. And so I'm French background, but the Hebrew idea there is a rod. Is that what my name means? And it's typically in the Bible, a rod is a symbol of strength. And it was used to count and also to ward off enemies for sheep. And so I've kind of figured out that I'm a problem solver type of person. And it kind of relates to that name. God's love for me. When I was 20, I was a college student in Japan. And I was born with a vision handicap and had to deal with some codependency issues, and I always hungered and thirst for love and acceptance. And first I sought that out in learning Japanese language. And then sports, I ran cross country and track. And of course, as a high school college student, I liked dating. And I was always looking for these things to satisfy my hunger for love. And at some point I did start going to church and different things. But I kind of figured out that I needed to work my way for salvation, to do good things. And that didn't work out, and I became more frustrated and convicted of sin. And I had a chance to go to a youth rally in a major area of downtown Tokyo called Shinjuku. And the speaker there shared Romans 5:8, which reads, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So I realized I can't work for my salvation, and God knew exactly where I was right when I was a sinner. he loved me, and it was his gift, his acceptance of me as I was. I came to Christ, and he continued to lead me. Bookshelves and bookends. Being in ministry for 40 years, I was a church planter. I did, when 11 years ago, we had our triple disaster in Japan. So I became a chaplaincy, a disaster response chaplain. I was a field leader, and then also I do clergy care. So you can look at my bookshelf, and I have all these theology, church growth, leadership, trauma, counseling, all these different things. That kind of describes different changes in my life. The bookends, to keep the books in order, you have bookends. We appreciate those, but sometimes in ministry, those bookends are very stressful or traumatic. And I can think of four or five bookends in my life. One, 1973, I'll share a little story about that later, but I experienced extreme dehydration and ended up in the hospital. And then I was involved with three individuals who committed suicide in Japan. Two of those I did the funeral for, and in one case, it was something that led to my slow leak and eventual burnout, and the other one is why we are working in the state of Fukushima, the city of Fukushima, which Japan is about the size of California, and we're in northern Japan, 250 miles north of Tokyo. But our ministry is about 60 miles south in Fukushima City, and about another 50 miles from the nuclear reactor that imploded. The other area is Many Falls. I don't know your experience, your journey with COVID-19, but for me, in April of 2021, I experienced vertigo for 2 days, and I had still dealing with balance issues. I'm about 95% healed. Part of that is I fell and broke my arm. So I have a nice metal plate with 9 bolts in there, and this is about the extent of my lifting of my left arm. Next slide. I do have some hobbies. I like to run and road bike. Ediko, who is not here today but sends her greetings, she plays the cello. And this May, I think it's the 21st, she will be involved in a cello concert of 450 cellists. And it's a memorial because it is 11 years after the our disaster and going to Fukushima and trying to be a blessing and encouragement to people there. Next slide. So the ministry that I'm involved in is called Three Stream Ministries. The Chinese character on the left, the three vertical strokes, that is the word, the pictograph for river. And it depicts the center line is the flow of God in our lives. On the right might be a pastor or a leader, and on the left is our ministry. So we come alongside people to listen together to what God is sharing in their lives. And our sort of vision statement is helping leaders to be whole, holy, and missional. The reason I launched that is, as I mentioned, I did experience burnout, and over several years of counseling, coaching, mentoring, spiritual direction, I became more whole and understanding what God had for my life. And I realized I don't want to waste all this training and this change and things that have been happening to me, so I decided to, thinking that other people might have experienced some things like me, maybe they didn't make as many mistakes that I did, but I could be an encouragement to someone and walk together with them in their pain. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And that's my desire to be used of God. to where people, our souls dry up, that we can help them. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ and what he has done, and to walk with people and experience this river in the desert of the soul. Next slide. Pastor Dittus has introduced my book. I do have about 10 copies on the back table, and if you'd like to purchase it, that would be great. Again, it came out of my journey. And our topic today, sorry, a long introduction, but we're going to get, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at chapter 2. But our topic has three components. We're looking at resiliency and the gospel and adversity. We're going to start with adversity and how the gospel is so powerful to balance our lives to experience resiliency. And I don't know your journey with COVID these last 2.5, 3 years, but it knocked us off our kilter. We've lost balance in different ways. And the gospel is so powerful and fresh and timely in our lives that it restores that balance. Well, what do I mean by resilience? One definition is, after falling many times, it's painfully simple. We fall down and we get up. Donnie McClurkin, an urban gospel singer, wrote a song that title, "We Fall Down, But We Get Up." If you think of a falling scenario, maybe you've slipped, you've fallen down or something. The best scenario is we recognize it before we hit the ground and scrape ourselves up or break any bones. We recover. We look a little funny. Oops, we fall, but you know, we respond and we recover. No harm, no foul, right? Or we fall down, we're still down on the ground, and we don't recognize it. Or we fall and we deny it. You know, our pants are ripped, we've got mud and, you know, bloody legs or hands. Oh no, I didn't fall down. I'm good. But you're bleeding and, you know, we're in denial. Or we fall and we ask for help. I'm down. I'm hurting. Can you help me? Can you pick me up? Can you call an ambulance? Or someone else sees you and they say, gee, it looks like you need help. Let me help you. So resilience refers to both the process and the outcome of successfully adapting to difficult or challenging life experiences. It is not just for the body or different rhythms or habits we have, but it's for the soul. The gospel brings redemption, renewal, trust, courage, and hope. For me, it was a matter of life and death. As a junior in high school, I ran a full marathon in Guam, where I was living, in 1973. We started at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had run cross country that year, and I did some training, you know, and I felt I was pretty good, and there were various water stations. It was a small marathon, and I did stop at a couple of them, but I looked at the water station as kind of an option for the older guys, right? I don't need it. I'm good. The problem was I got to the end, and as I looked at the finish line, I saw these trees, and they were kind of moving, and you know, and I tried to get around it, but I ran smack dab into this tree, woke up. I had been taken by ambulance to a hospital, and in Guam Memorial Hospital, they had never dealt with someone experiencing extreme dehydration. My arms and my legs were flailing. I had been running almost 3.5 hours, and they were trying to hold my body down. My body was still moving, and I was resisting, and the IV needles were flying all over the place, and what are we going to do? And they finally got me secure and settled, and IVs running, glucose and saline ran through my body, and I did recover. But I could have lost my life at that time. It was very dangerous. But I learned from that adversity of the lack of hydration, it needs to be replenished. And I ran the marathon again in 1980, and I won the race because I hydrated and I trained well. But anyway, the next slide. So we are very thankful. I wrote the book in 2020, and then the next year I wrote the had the book translated into Japanese, and that's the version here. And the booker received award, the office Fujikake, my spell corrector didn't do it, but it's Fujikake Award, which is given for excellence in writing in Christian counseling, and that was very encouraging. But the book, as Pastor Dennis was talking about, it's resilience, and it is for everybody. It has four cycles that we'll look at later, but departing well, arriving well, leading well, and finishing well. The next slide, please. So that's clergy care has been a big part of my ministry, but also Eriko and I partner with the Hokushin Calvary Church. It's a church in the city of Fukushima, and I do preaching, training, mentoring. Eriko plays the music there, and this is a picture of one of our training classes. Next slide, please. Let me just pray a moment, and we're going to look at some of our ideas here. Lord, we thank you for this time to look at your word. We thank you that you are so worthy of praise, honor, dominion, and glory. We thank you for your precious word now, in Jesus' name. We're going to look at a number of topics this morning. The pervasiveness of adversity in our lives, the divine gift of resilience, our poetic destiny, and I don't think we're going to have time, but a little bit of incongruence in what that looks like. So in Genesis 3:9, we see the Lord talking to Adam and Eve. He said, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Genesis 3:9 is one of the most haunting and thought-provoking verses in Scripture. God is a relational God. If we look at the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God and three persons, it's a beautiful, loving relationship. And we too are made for relationship with God and other people. In this verse, God asks Adam a question, which reveals a problem. The problem was one of lostness. No, God did not misplace Adam and Eve like a distracted parent in a mall and wondering where his child is. But God asked this question to Adam and Eve to help them understand their own dire situation and the implications of their choice. Perhaps the Lord was really inviting them to change the pronoun from you to I and ask themselves, "Where am I?" Adam and Eve lost their bearings, identity, and balance by moving away from God. They were tempted to be like God rather than be with God. Their choice has affected humankind until this day through the missing the mark or sin. If we look back at Ephesians 2, you can go ahead and open that. So that situation in Genesis, if we fast forward to the New Testament, we see this in the first several verses of Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. I'm going to read that. This is the New Living Translation. But it says, he talks about the consequences of being like God. "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else." Lostness, pervasive adversity. And let's look at our text for this morning. Move a little forward, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, the next verse, thank you. It says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this, it's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So the basic truth here is Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. By Adam's choice to be like a God rather than with God, became lost. But Jesus came to seek those and to save those who are lost. He died in our place on the cross and rose from the dead to give us newness of life. We celebrated that in the Lord's Supper just a few minutes ago. We accepted by faith. It is unmerited favor, a gift. I learned during this conference from a Japanese pastor, the word for grace in Japanese is megumi. And it's a Chinese character, and it's made up of two components that he introduced us. The first part is the cross, and the bottom part is think. So he defined grace as being thinking about the work on the cross, remembering it, dwelling over it, living in that, the thought process of that. That was very interesting. Verse 10 talks about how we are his masterpiece, a poem, a work of art, one of a kind. And the gospel is this missing link to soul resilience that we really need. But we are created anew, and this is that resiliency part, bringing us from many types of adversity to resilience. The gospel is the balancing lever in that. I ask you a question for yourselves to think about maybe this week. How has the gospel brought you from being lost to finding salvation and identity in Christ and then thriving as God's masterpiece? Can you think about that, going from being lost to being a masterpiece? Being alone with no one and being looked at by God. This is my child. This is my one-of-a-kind masterpiece. He is precious. The next slide. What about this area of balance? Ephesians 4, the next chapter, tells us, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The book of Ephesians is very interesting. Most of Paul's letters work this way. The first several chapters are about doctrine, theology, and the second half are the practical ways we can work that out in our lives. And this is true in Ephesians. Ephesians 1 to 3 talk about theological truth. 4 to 6 are the practical outworking. And in the middle of that, chapter 4, verse 1, is this wonderful word, worthy, which in the Greek is axios. It's right there in the middle. Eugene Peterson, in his book Practice Resurrection, talks about this, and he says the axios means balance, equilibrium, or congruence. It's a metaphor for balancing scales. For me, after I experienced vertigo a couple years ago, this idea of balance and equilibrium is so important. And as a result of my vertigo, I did have this running accident in January of 2022. And just, you know, I finished rehab just a few weeks ago. But I still work on exercise and trying to keep my balance. It's really important. Let's look at the next slide. I'm going to spend our remaining moments focusing on this. I trust that it might be helpful for you. When I thought about this idea, how do we experience resiliency? Well, there's these forces. It's kind of like a teeter-totter, but we have a variety of adversities that pull us down to knock us off our balance. And then we have the power of the gospel to lift us up, the inertia to switch us back to resilience. And we're going to look at some different characteristics quickly as we conclude this morning. So on the adversity side, we have stress. What is stress like? We have good stress and bad stress. Stress is activation or a state of arousal, and burnout is deactivation or a state of exhaustion from prolonged stress. Both stress and burnout deplete the body in distinct ways. Stress taxes a person's adjustment capacities, while burnout taxes his or her ability to continue caring. Stress involves overuse of one's adjustment capacities, where there's an inordinate amount of transition and change. Think about that these last 3 years. Have you experienced stress with COVID? I'm guessing that probably you have. What about trauma? Well, trauma is a critical incident, a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. Trauma basically means wound. It could be physical, spiritual, or emotional. Transition, a move. Have any of you changed jobs, location, houses, work shifts, the church? Maybe you were online for a while, different things, a lot of change. Usually we're starting or ending something. It's a move from one thing to something else. Scarcity culture. I don't know if you've heard this term, but the writer Brené Brown wrote a book called Dare Greatly, and she talks about scarcity culture. The main idea is this, is there's never enough. Never enough time, never enough possessions, position, never enough relationships. I don't look good enough. I'm not successful enough. We spend time on what we don't have. Everything from safety and love to money, resources, it feels restricted or lacking. Another aspect of scarcity culture is our world values. Arthur Brooks, in his New York bestseller, Strength to Strength, talks about satisfaction. How do you define satisfaction? It's continually getting what you want. What is success? Continually having more than others. Think about that. Failure is having less. As we age, we decline in our abilities, but we still have this urge to do more or have more, and we have a resistance to doing less. John Eldridge, who wrote a book last year called Resilient, related directly to COVID-19. I really recommend that book. It's an excellent book. He uses a term, chasing life. And in adverse times, it's kind of like where the, you know, like at a in Guam, we used to have greyhound races, and you have this little wooden rabbit on a rail, and they run it in front of the greyhound, and they're not very intelligent, and they keep trying to chase and catch this rabbit, which they never do. But it's kind of like us, we're chasing life. There's a movie in introduction to my book, I refer to this, but it's literally translated, it's a Japanese movie, it really means I'm finished, and something you say when you retire, or I have no value or existence. And the main character, Tashiro, he was a businessman. He retired at 63. And he tried to figure out what to do. He had no hobbies, not too many friends outside of work. And so he started going to a gym. He met a person who was running a company. That man invited him to be a consultant in his company, which he did. And one day, this man had a heart attack and died right away. So the board of directors, they asked Tashiro, can you lead our company? And he had always had a desire to be a CEO. So he was really happy until there was problems in the company and it went bankrupt. And he was a signature on the company, so he was responsible for all the debt in the company. He had saved lots of money for retirement to do things with his wife, and it was all gone. But he accepted the risk of a glamorous position. It was beyond his current abilities and energy levels and against his wife's wishes, and they ended up living separately for quite a while because he was in a rut of work-defined identity. Resiliency, again, is getting back up, regaining balance. That's the recovery part. So we're looking at the other side of the diagram now, and the margin is having more resources than our demands. And we can increase resources and we can decrease demands, stressors, and so we try and find a margin. Flexibility, the ability to expand and contract, bend but not break. Vulnerability, again, Brené Brown talks about this. It's the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, creativity, and trust. She defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. Vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weakness. In Japanese culture, yes, we're a mask culture. We always wear, even before COVID, when we get a cold, we always wear masks as part of our culture. But we also have a mask over our heart. It's called the false self. And she talks about vulnerability is removing that mask and hoping that the real me isn't too disappointing. Redemption and renewal, salvation, more of Christ, less of me, yielding our desires to those of the Lord, the gospel working in and through you, the soul care, outreach, sharing out of brokenness. Because of time, I'm going to skip the next couple slides, and we'll go down to the last one and just some action points, the finishing slide. Thank you. So these are just some questions that I encourage you to ask yourself and think about. Let me just close briefly in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to share together. We thank you for your tender love and mercy. And Father, I just pray for each one who may be dealing with different kinds of adversity. Lord, you're always asking us to go back to the cross, to think about the cross, to apply it to our lives so that we can experience your power to give us resilient, thriving lives. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.